if this is a Harley music or not, but it's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. This decision by Harley-Davidson that it is moving some of its operations somewhere is not exactly a surprise. The company has been vocal on its view of tariffs and the effect of a trade war on its bottom line. But the announcement yesterday that the iconic motorcycle maker was moving more of its production overseas was pointedly vague on details. Where are they moving said operations? To the factory they are building in Thailand? When are they moving? And how many U.S. workers, if any, will be affected? Hamid Motadi hopefully can help us answer some of those questions. He is a professor in the economics department at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Hamid, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So Harley-Davidson hasn't said yet whether this move will mean laying off workers or closing any plants in the U.S., so it's unclear if this will actually result in Americans losing their jobs. But how likely is it that American jobs will be lost because of this move?
Well, the main point would be that if the economic forces force Harley to cut costs, and costs will rise in the U.S. The export price of Harley products will rise to the Europeans due to the tariff. Harley will have to be forced to make a decision in that regard. And one of the things that economists can predict, typically from you just thinking about economic forces, is that when tariffs are imposed on companies, often companies shift investments overseas, so to speak, working behind the tariff walls. Mm. And in this case, it's likely that Harley will have to shift production elsewhere. And if so, there is a chance that we would be losing some jobs in Wisconsin. So I would predict that there would be some contraction. It's hard as far as economic forces are concerned, whether Harley will do that as a political decision, that remains unclear.
So that's an interesting thing in terms of politics and economic forces. President Trump has imposed steel tariffs on steel coming out of the European Union, and that is why the European Union is taxing Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Are those steel tariffs going to be beneficial enough to counteract the damage that it is doing to other industries?
That's a very good question. And the economic analysis suggests, and economic estimates suggest, that that's not the case. And I'll give you some numbers and some reasons for that. The numbers suggest that one recent study suggests that for every $37.5 billion worth of tariffs on U.S. products, we would have a net loss of jobs, about 79,000 jobs. And the reason for that is because while aluminum and steel might be able to expand, through their expanding their plants in Pennsylvania or elsewhere, or maybe setting up plants in other states, because they are very high in the supply chain, the cost to the users of steel and aluminum throughout the entire spectrum of the industries will tend to rise. And as a result, consumers will face higher prices, and companies that use these products will have to then contract. And this is the main reason why economists use the word effective tariff versus nominal tariff. So nominal tariff can be a positive number, but the effective tariff ends up being a negative number, because in fact we'll end up having a overall negative effect on the economy.
Okay, so this is fascinating to me. So even without tariffs, if steel manufacturers were bolstered and they could then sell to all markets, including American markets, higher-priced steel, you're saying that even companies in the American market who buy that steel would be suffering?
That's exactly right. And of course, the reason why steel and aluminum price would go up is because of the tariff imposed on the competing imports. Let's say if you have a 20%, 30% tariff on competing imports, then the price of steel and aluminum would match that 20 or 30% increase, and therefore it's the cost of steel and aluminum to users of steel and aluminum will rise.
This is
separate from the tariff war and all those kind of retaliation factors and all those other things. This is just the pure effect of a product that is used in other industries on the profitability of those other industries.
We are talking about Harley-Davidson's decision to move some of its manufacturing overseas. It's not telling us where overseas, how much of its manufacturing, how many people in the U.S. are going to be affected. Hamid Mohtadi, the president, tweeted less than an hour ago. He wrote, "When I had Harley-Davidson officials over to the White House, I chided them about tariffs in other countries like India being too high. Companies are now coming back to America. Harley must know that they won't be able to sell back into the U.S. without paying a big tax." Well, first of all, what is your response to that? Harley is not leaving the U.S., so they wouldn't be selling back in. How makes sense of that for me?
Right. So in fact, I think economic forces suggest that a couple of things. First, there has been some studies that suggest that demography has not been in Harley's favor in terms of the overall aging of the American consumers and the existence of other competing products, Yamaha and other motorcycles. That's one thing. The other thing is that when you invest overseas, when Harley will either expand or set up new plants overseas, it'll forego a large fixed cost, like maybe, let's say if you want to produce $100 million worth of new motorcycles, you have to spend $300-$500 million in new plant and equipment and so on. And as a consequence, it becomes a little bit kind of irreversible in the sense that Harley cannot just pack up and come back to the U.S. even if the tariffs, let's say down the road by another administration, were to be removed. So in fact, Harley may not have as much incentive to come back to the U.S. once it departs. And this is something that one has to understand. So the threat, in fact, may be the other way around. Whether we're going to impose a tax on Harley for coming back, Harley itself may not be in a position to be coming back once it leaves. Once its production contracts in the U.S.
So it's interesting to me that, we sort of see maybe was this Trump's plan to kind of push Harley out. And it says to me that he's tweeting. He's angry about this. He didn't expect this move. What do you think the administration did expect when they made these moves? It seems economic sense that Harley is following their own economic interests.
That's exactly right. So I think one of the things that we've learned over the course of years is that economic policy needs to be really thought through, and there is this such a thing as the law of unintended consequences. And unless politicians really think through the consequence of their action, we'll have these kinds of results. So I'm not sure what the initial intentions were, but I suspect that President Trump did not think that, in fact, these things would happen. But these are very very expected consequences of these kinds of policies.
Trump also tweeted...
I'm not surprised at his surprise.
Trump has also tweeted that Ronald Reagan used tariffs as a way to protect American products, including Harley's. Is that correct? Did Reagan have similar policies?
Well, yes, that's... in fact, that is the case. But there's one major difference. So the major difference is that Harley is kind of what we call in economics like a final product. Is not a product that's at the top of the supply chain like steel and aluminum.
Yeah.
So when you impose tariff on Harley, you will be the American consumer of the American users of Harley, buyers of Harley, will be affected somewhat. But there are a couple of things. First of all, that's not going to affect the rest of the economy. And second of all, at that time, U.S. economy and U.S. buyers of Harley, the demography was in Harley's favor. In fact, there were times where Harley could not keep up with the demand. And the two things, therefore, there are two differences here. One is, of course, changes in demography, and so that's made Harley much more price sensitive than it was in the early 1980s. And second of all, the effect on the economy would be very different. Harley is at sort of end of the supply chain, whereas are at the top of the supply chain.
So there wouldn't be that cascading effect. Harley-Davidson announced that it is moving more production overseas in response to European tariffs. We'll be back in a moment. Yeah, it's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. So where is Harley-Davidson going to move production of its motorcycles for the European market? And when is that likely going to happen? More importantly, will U.S. workers be affected? What do you think of Harley's announcement? Do you work at a Harley factory? Have you heard any specifics from the company? What do you think of the growing trade war? Will Wisconsin be able to come out of it on the winning side? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Hameen Motadi is a professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and he is taking us through this trade deficit, this trade tariff. We were talking when we last spoke, Hameen, about the cascading effect of steel tariffs down to all of the companies that buy steel, even companies in the U.S. Trump has often said that the reason he's imposing these tariffs on the EU and other countries is to narrow the trade deficit. I would bet you that most people listening can't really talk about what the trade deficit is as opposed to the budget deficit. Can you explain what this trade deficit is?
Surely. Trade deficit would be an imbalance between amount of goods and services that we import versus the amount of goods and services that we export. So if the imports exceed the exports, we're basically spending more than we're taking in, and we would have a trade deficit. It's a very simple...
And is this a bad thing?
Well, it all depends. Surely if a country runs trade deficit persistently, that would basically mean that that it would cause some difficulties. Now, in the U.S., in a country other than the U.S., where dollar would not be the universal currency of use, what that would tend to cause would be a depreciation of the value of that currency. Typically, emerging market economies have to be very careful about that, because depreciation of the value of their currency would therefore mean inflation, because the value of imports will tend to rise as a consequence, and so forth. In the U.S., typically, trade deficit has not had that that negative effect, simply because U.S. is also the sort of the currency of last resort, and capital has tended to move into the U.S. in the past, and the demand for U.S. Assets, stocks and bonds and so on, has in a sense compensated the capital market surplus, if you will, has compensated for the deficit in the trade zone, so to speak.
That's interesting. So if we continue to make these moves against other countries, does that make it harder for us to run trade deficits in the future, because those countries are not going to see the U.S. as kind of the underpinning for their capital?
Well, I mean, there has been some complaints, if you will, or at least movements over the course of the past maybe 7-8 years by the Chinese and others, that trying to, you know, create their own, you know, ultimately future currency, sort of as a you know, a currency of last resort and so on. I don't see that happening in a short period of time. What the effect of trade deficit, of course, will be is besides the currency effect, which I don't think is my source of concern in the U.S. case anyway for the moment, is the fact that when we do have more imports than exports, it does mean that that jobs that are created in that export market would not be created because we would be importing those products from other sources. So there will be over time if exports are reduced and imports are increased, there is that economic the employment effect, if you will, and that would not be necessarily a good thing. On the other hand, because globalization does mean expansion of goods and services for everyone, you have this substitution effect. On the other hand, you have an expansion of goods and services because other people will be buying our exports. So it's kind of it's a balancing act, if you will. So we've had a very rapid expansion of U.S. economy since this globalization move began. In fact, probably with President Reagan, despite some of the points we just talked about, Harley Davidson and so on. It was really beginning in the 1980s where our economy began to expand due to the globalization of economy and the fact that others were buying more and more of our products. And even though we were importing a whole lot, our exports really did expand substantially.
We are talking about Harley Davidson's move to do more manufacturing overseas in response to tariffs from the European Union. Harley Davidson actually sells a lot of motorcycles in Europe. We're going to take Gary from Merrill. Gary, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. Well, I'm thinking that, and I've heard that Harley Davidson has been making more and more of the parts for their motorcycles overseas. The reason isn't because of the cost of the steel and aluminum, because even if you double the cost, the value is in the finished product. The reason Harley is going overseas is because of the import taxes on the finished product. For instance, a Corvette in South Korea, you've got about a 60-70% import tax, and all these products, we sell the scrap overseas, steel, paper, and they turn those products into finished products, and they dump them back on the U.S. with no import taxes whatsoever.
So that's interesting, Gary. I'm going to go to our guest here. Hamid, import taxes as opposed to tariffs? I'm confused here.
So I think Gary is quite right. In fact, in the case of Harley, it isn't really. I mean, there were several channels through which tariffs work. One is this supply chain effect, which we talked about, and that would raise the cost to the users of aluminum and steel. In this case, that's really not necessarily the main reason for Harley's decision. In this case, as Gary points out, it's this retaliatory effect of us imposing tariff on other countries' products that now has caused Europeans to impose tariff selectively on some of our products, including Harley's. So that import tax that Europeans are imposing on Harley is what we call their tariff. So when you impose a tax on a product, basically that's what the tariff is. It's a tax on import.
And did those import taxes exist before this trade war happened?
No, it did not. They did not. So it's in fact. So in other words, when you have these tariffs in this case, you have different effects. One is the channel we talked about, this supply channel, and the other one is the retaliatory channel. And this retaliatory channel, that's a tricky one because, as Gary points out, you're trying to address that by trying to threaten that you would be putting tariffs. But it's kind of a little bit like a Russian roulette. If other countries decide that, you know what, you're going to be imposing tariff on our products, we're just going to retaliate. That if that threat goes through, then everyone tends to lose in that war. So in that trade war, and that is the art of negotiating. Now, President Trump has prided himself in being able to negotiate basically the art of a deal, and let's hope he can, because otherwise, if others decide that this is for real and we're going to start retaliating as well, then in fact as we're beginning to see, all economies are going to start contracting, and the capital stock market is starting to react to that now for the past few days.
It's a really delicate balancing act, isn't it?
It is indeed.
You mentioned President Trump. He tweeted again this morning. I just want to share with everybody. He says, quote, "A Harley Davidson should never be built in another country. Their employees and customers are already very angry at them. If they move, watch. It will be the beginning of the end. They surrendered. They quit. The RO will be gone, and they will be taxed like never before." I'm not going to ask you to react to that. I just kind of wanted to put that out there. Harley Davidson says their motorcycles are going to be too expensive for European countries, that this tariff will raise the price of their motorcycles, which are already pretty expensive, to about $2,200 more. Is that a correct number? And what is will they be able to sell motorcycles for a cheaper price if they actually move overseas?
Well, so that's a good question. So here's my take on the answer to that. First, Harley will be able to, if Harley produces in Europe, or let's say labor in Europe is expensive, in a less labor expensive country like maybe some of the East Asian economies that do not have a sort of a tariff relationship like U.S. is now, or Europeans are trying to put on U.S., say, importing Harley products where they are being produced elsewhere into Europe, then that price, then that cost effect will not be there today. We would have the Harley would be able to save on the increase in the price. Now, there is one other factor, and that is one might argue that people that buy Harley products are not necessarily price sensitive. Harley is a very unique niche product, and what we call in economics price elasticity of demand for Harley might not be very high. So in other words, a 10% increase in the price will not lead to a 10% decline in demand, and that would therefore mean that Harley shouldn't have to worry about increasing price. That may well be true, but countering that economic force is the income effect and the demographics that we talked about. And the demographics suggest that Harley had been experiencing some pressure as the aging population, as the aging baby boomers have tended to shift their preferences towards less expensive motorcycles like Yamaha and Honda and so on. And so that means that Harley was already starting to feel sort of the heat from the declining American demand for Harley. And now, in some sense, one might argue that this retaliatory tariff that Europeans plan to impose on Harley was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Got it. So I just want to be very clear here in terms of this Trump tweet. Harley is not saying that it is leaving the U.S. Harley is just moving more manufacturing overseas, correct?
That seems to be the case, but it's hard to imagine that Harley could be maintaining the same level production, in a sense, in the U.S. and expand abroad. I mean, we're not facing an expanding market for Harley. So I would venture to guess that eventually Harley will have to cut some jobs in the U.S. So it's really hard to know exactly how future will play out, but it would be difficult for me to imagine Harley maintaining the exact presence in the U.S. while also expanding abroad.
Interesting. We are talking about Harley's decision to move some more manufacturing to its outside the U.S. Company, manufacturing plants. We don't really know. They haven't been specific about what that means for U.S. plants in terms of jobs, in terms of how much it will cost the U.S. Gary from Brookfield actually emailed us. He writes, "There are many in America that do not understand that corporations are global entities. Harley will sell a lot of bikes out of the U.S. where there is much greater growth opportunity," which is what you just said, Hamid Motadi. What this is saying to me is that maybe EU tariffs are kind of a convenient excuse for Harley, that they were actually planning to do this.
It may well be. Absolutely. I mean, it is true that that companies look at the bottom line, and they figure that they have to balance their business model, and in the case of Harley, they have to balance that also against the sort of the being what it is. They have to kind of balance that against the politics of the moment and so on. So I can clearly see why Harley might use this as a reason, as a sort of a you might call it excuse, as a reason to shift operation abroad. But we do have to remember that as your caller pointed out, given that these corporations are global entities, this is constantly an issue of balancing costs and benefits and moving and shifting plants in different parts of the world. And in this case, clearly the winds are not in favor of the of plants in the U.S. In at least in the case of Harley. So, there is an institute that works on international trade issues in Washington D.C. called the Peterson Institute, and they have predicted that this kind of contraction, or this kind of, let's say at this moment, production shifts from U.S. to other countries, will continue to occur for many other industries to come, as a consequence of these retaliatory tariffs and other factors such as supply chain effects that we talked about.
The company already is moving from, they're closing a factory in Kansas City. They made this decision before the trade spat. They also have manufacturing in Brazil, in India, in Australia. They are building a new plant in Thailand. This plant in Thailand has nothing to do, they say, the company says, with these tariffs. We're going to talk about that, though, in a moment. We are talking about Harley-Davidson's announcement that they are going to be moving more production overseas. We're going to take your calls, 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The Harley-Davidson company is moving more jobs overseas. The company says it's because of retaliatory tariffs on steel by the European Union. How much will those tariffs really affect Harley's bottom line? Were they out the door to begin with? What do you think of this decision? 800-642-1234. 1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Hamid Mohtadi is a professor of economics at the Department of Economics Department at University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He's joining us to talk us through what these tariffs mean and what this Harley decision means. These tariffs, Hamid, aren't just on motorcycles. They're also affecting cranberries, which is another major Wisconsin export, and other goods, including denim, cigarettes, peanut butter. How could these tariffs affect the U.S. economy in general?
Right. So I think, again, goes back somewhat to what we call the price sensitivity of consumers. So a product like cranberry, if it can be produced elsewhere at a lower price, would mean that world demand for Wisconsin cranberries could be shifted to production of, to harvesting of cranberries elsewhere. So, I'm not an agricultural expert, so I do not know where else cranberries can grow as nice as Wisconsin, for example. But there is that typically the bottom line on whether the effect is going to be, felt on the particular industry in question has to do with what kind of competition that industry faces, and therefore what's the price sensitivity of consumers to that. So I suspect in most cases, as a general rule, agricultural products face a typically much higher price sensitivity than products like, let's say, luxury products like Harley. So while Harley's causing Harley to make a decision has to do more with demographics as well as retaliatory tariffs and so on, in the case of something like cranberries, it's going to be coming down more to price sensitivity of demand for cranberry and other agricultural products. And as a rule, these products are much more price sensitive than final goods whether we're talking Harley, whether we're talking Mercedes coming from Germany,
right,
and so on.
Right. So here's my question though. You mentioned globalization earlier in the program. We were talking about Ronald Reagan, who kind of started this globalization. Without the tariffs, is globalization something that is going to hurt the U.S. in the long run, or has it been good, and will it continue to be good for the U.S.?
So, absolutely. So, this is a very good question, actually. There's a sort of a depth to your question that I'd like to address. So, it is true that globalization as a whole has allowed all economies of the world to expand, and in a sense, it's all the economies that are involved in free trade and so on. And so as a result, everyone gains on the net. But it is equally true that, as we've seen and witnessed in the U.S. over the past 30 years, that globalization's effect, a positive effect on the U.S. economy, is not uniform. That is, you're going to have losers and winners. And it is that effect, the negative effect of globalization, that we feel in terms of historically, contraction of some of our more lower skilled production processes moving elsewhere overseas and to China and to India and Thailand and so on. So as a whole, we've gained. Everyone has gained, but that gain is not uniform. And this is one of the challenges that policymakers face: what to do with losers, if you will. How to address the job losses and so on. And we haven't been done very well in addressing that negative effect of globalization on segments of our economy that haven't enjoyed, because of the nature of the skill shift abroad and so on, haven't enjoyed that expansion. As a whole, we've expanded dramatically, but again, that expansion has not been entirely.
So here's my question. What could we have done better to make sure that people whose jobs were displaced got different jobs and were able to participate in the economy? And the second part of that question is, if tariffs aren't the way to fix it, what is?
Okay, so I would suggest looking at some models of economies elsewhere in the world that have actually succeeded in this process. And a great example of success here is Germany. Germany is amazingly export intensive in that roughly 40 to 50% of its GDP comes from revenues from exports. Now, we well know German products like auto and many other products Germany produces are extremely high quality. And these products are very hard to replace by more mass production of auto and so on coming from China and elsewhere. So Germany has managed to produce a very high skill content, high quality products that are less vulnerable to these kinds of global forces. How has Germany managed to do that? Well, Germany has one of the most impressive training systems in the world in terms of skills and sophistication of production and so on. And I think if you look at German model of education and training of skilled labor force, you could see why Germany has done so well and other countries haven't. And in fact, there are some studies of looking at German post-World War II industrial structure versus UK and the comparisons point out, because the two countries are roughly similar size and so on, those comparisons really suggest that Germany has done things quite differently and much, much more successfully than, for example, UK.
Doesn't Germany have really, really strong unions that are sort of embedded in the laws of the government also?
That is true. Germany does. And so in some sense, I suppose one could argue that that contrary to the popular thinking, that unions are necessarily always a detraction from growth and so on. Germany has also managed to have often its unions sit in the board of directors of companies, and maybe that process of co-participation has helped maintain, reduce the adversarial relation between business and unions. So it is true that, but it's equally true that German policy, economic policy, has been much more farsighted and has thought through some of the effects that Germany would otherwise have faced, just as U.S. has, of low-cost foreign competition. So I think you're absolutely right, but I think unions have been somewhat less adversarial in the German context than they have been perhaps elsewhere.
We are talking about Harley's decision to move some of its manufacturing overseas. We've got a few minutes left, and we're going to take some calls. John from Appleton, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for each of you. I love the Germany example. I still speak German.
Oh, good.
Since high school many years ago, and so I'm a fan of Germany a lot. My question was, I guess the only thing I agree with President Trump on is making things more in America. So what does the professor think of actually incentivizing the purchase of American goods, giving people and companies, for that matter, credits to buy American versus buy foreign? I mean...
So these would be government credits.
Government credits on your taxes.
Right. Right.
What
interesting.
Do you think of that?
Hamid?
Sure. So, economists think about subsidies and taxes and so on always as detractions from market forces. And so the typical answer is that as a whole, they don't necessarily help. On the other hand, economists would favor subsidies and taxes where, not to use too much jargon, but where economic externalities are involved. For instance, one example might be the subsidies that federal government provided to, say, solar industry beginning with the Obama administration. And that did allow allow for expansion of solar industry in the U.S. dramatically in price of solar. Solar cells drop to the point where solar energy is now less expensive. Solar and wind, I should say, both, especially wind, I think, in this case, is less expensive than, let's say, coal and so on. Now, the reason that's economically wise is because it also benefited from the reduction of their carbon footprint and so on. So there has to be some positive gains. Now, in the case of the tariffs and the whole global trade discussion that we have, if we deem that, for example, expanding a particular industry, it has social benefits beyond just that industry. That is, for example, spillovers effects, such as better technology, learning by doing, the ability to expand that industry into the potential benefit for other industries, downstream industries. Then I think in that case, a subsidy, especially to the industry itself, would not be a bad thing. So it all depends on whether, but if it's really a sort of a zero sum game, the industry, let's say, for example, there's been discussion about reviving coal, and in that case, I think subsidy would not necessarily be particularly a good thing because of course, the effects on you know, the environmental negative externalities and that kind of thing.
We've been talking about. Thank you, John, for that question. By the way, we've been talking about the Harley-Davidson's decision to move some of its production overseas because of European tariffs, which are in retaliation for U.S. tariffs on their steel. Hamid Mutadi has been taking us through this trade war and Harley's various options. He's also been teaching us a little bit about economics here. He's a professor of economics at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. Professor Mutadi, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, you're most welcome.
I'm Carrie Kaufman, and it's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.